Looking at our culture in 2016 through the lens of Proverbs. One of the clear, very major problems that we're facing today and have for quite a bit of time, really since World War II, has been a worship of materialism things. America has gone from a keen sense of spiritual values to placing value on things that are very much part of this earth, temporal values. And we live in a very commercially driven society. Our value, our worth is based upon what we have. And many young people grow up, it's all about the kind of job they can have, what they can purchase, the things in their life that they can enjoy. It is just the religion of our day. Well, Proverbs has something to say about that. And so if you'll turn to the book of Proverbs, we'll be going through it, and like we've done before on a thematic basis. Let me give you a couple of other scriptures, though. Covetousness is what I call the commandment of the Ten Commandments. It really sums up the real problem that we have in our human nature of self-focus. And the Tenth Commandment that is so specific is found in Exodus 20:17, "And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is his neighbor's." There you have the direct coveting of what someone else has, but the desire to have things is found right in the core commandments. And then in the wonderful passage in Colossians that deals with our new life in Christ, being risen with Christ, having that reality, we are warned that the opposite of that are the sins of the flesh. And that section ends with, "and covetousness, which is idolatry." So covetousness, materialism, wanting things, being driven by it, being dreaming about it, letting our life be motivated, having our priorities center around it, is clearly seen in both Old and New Testaments as one of the great downfalls, especially in our life as a believer. So now, with that in mind, let's go to just a few verses here from Proverbs that deal with covetousness and greed. First thing we need to realize is we're just born with it. Every little baby wants that toy. They will grab for whatever they can. They want to get in line first. They want things. Proverbs 27:20. "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied." One thing you find in life is that natural desire to possess and have is very dominant, but it is never satisfied. If you have something, you want more, you want more, you want more. Godliness with contentment is great gain, we find in Timothy. That kind of reality, though, not only is never fulfilled, but it is very destructive. And so we need to realize that covetousness will lead to many areas of wrongdoing. We already saw that in the 10th commandment. But chapter 28, verse 20, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. For he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." In 1 Timothy chapter 6, you have the same warning about the fact that the root of all evil is money, and that money will lead to many destructive sins in a person's life. And so we need to realize that this, once we get off of a focus on the spiritual, and we're focused on the temporal and the things of this life, and we begin, and if we do that, our flesh, even though we're saved, if we don't allow the Spirit of God to have control, it will just become more dominant all the time, and it will lead to other sin. And it will bring great trouble. chapter 15, verse 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Very important point there. And I've seen so many dads make the mistake of becoming possessed with things and not living for spiritual reality, and it's the consequences are grave, and they'll lose their children to that. Back in chapter 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Now, this is obviously speaking of the extreme, but that attitude of whatever it takes, no matter who may even get hurt, is the attitude that will begin to prevail if covetousness is dominant in the life. Now, switching a little bit in this topic, we might not be totally driven by covetousness ourselves, but many believers envy those who have what they wish they had. You know, a lot of it can just be a mental thing. Dissatisfaction with your present circumstances can get you into real trouble. And one of the big questions that's brought up all the way from Job right on through the Old Testament is, why do the wicked seem to get so much? And why do the righteous sometimes suffer? Well, some things that deal with this, chapter 24, verse 19, fret not thyself because of an evil man, neither be thou envious of the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man, and the candle of the wicked shall be put out. Now, in the long run, what you have in Christ, though you may not have what someone else has that's living a wicked life, their candle's going to be put out. And all you have to do is trace the biographies of folks that have lived for themselves, and it's tragic what happens. And regardless, their attitudes and lives are offensive to God, and we love the Lord, and so we don't want to be partaker of that. Chapter 3, verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. And this is speaking about in the context of people that seem to be having things go so well, and they have power. And by the way, have you noticed how there are those in the political arena that take advantage of the natural desire that people have to have more, and their animosity toward people that have a lot, and they play on that. And that's just a constant theme all around the world. That's how many of the third world oppressive leadership come promising that they're going to solve the problem, and they're going to make things right. And they play off of people's envy of those who have something. Chapter 24, verse 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Chapter 23, verse 17, let not thy heart envy sinners. I mean, don't envy what they have, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day. Now, this is what young people coming up in Christian homes can fall into. Their parents lay down limitations, obviously, in balancing what they have, teaching them to learn to work for what they have. And they look out, and it seems that all these other teenagers get to do all of these things and get to have the latest designer clothes and get to have, maybe a car real early and all of these things, the latest technology when they're young. And there can be an envy, young people, that comes in your lives. You don't ever want to, but if you were in their shoes for a few days, you'd say, no, I don't want that. That's not meeting their needs. They may look really like they got it together. They don't. Don't be fooled by that. Don't envy sinners. Be in the fear of God. Realize the great riches are having a relationship with God, a free conscience, an opportunity to fulfill all that God has for your life and to make something of the life that God has given to you. And then we have something in our day, it's amazing how practical Proverbs is. We have pretending to be rich. You know, if you can't be, well, then look like it or act like it. I mean, again, it seems like I can always figure a way to get to social networking. You know, one way or the other, I can always get there. But, I mean, don't believe the social image making on social networking. And that looks like you got everything and everything's glamorous and all. And you know, you see guys drive around. Nothing wrong with having a wonderful car if you can do it. But I tell you what, people are working 70 hours a week to barely pay for what they have. They're trying to look like they have something, and they're living a miserable life, trying to act like they are rich. There is he that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. And that's an interesting thought. And then one final positive thought, and we will be finished here tonight. Victory over covetousness is something that needs to truly be accomplished by the Spirit of God. Contentment, freedom, satisfaction with what we have, truly being in God's will, having spiritual priorities. But it also, it'll just be much better for you personally. And I'll leave you with chapter 28, verse 16. The prince that wanteth or lacketh understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. By the way, people that get involved in really trying to go after money oftentimes really sacrifice even their physical life and get themselves in precarious situations. That's what this is talking about here. Folks, aren't you glad you got the Lord? Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad he gives you his daily, our daily bread? Aren't you thankful that we have something far greater than the things of this earth? That we have a reason to live beyond what people are just in a rat race. I feel sorry. Many people wake up when they're in their late 60s and realize, what did I do? What did it matter? What did I gain? And when you hit that age bracket, if you've walked with God, oh my, the richness that you have in your own life and with all those that you know and the lives that you've touched, you're indeed rich. Oh, so many of you, I think of people you've touched, your families, your rich people. You are the one to be envied. Be satisfied with God's will. Learn to love the spiritual. When you need things, pray for them. God loves to give us good gifts, but may God keep us from covetousness. Let's bow for prayer. Simple thought, spoke very quickly here tonight. You folks have worked hard this week. But you know, sometimes these very practical messages can be just what we need here. And it's easy for us to fall in this trap. I tell you, if you are not really walking with God for a little while, then you can get into the trap of living for just things around. Maybe not trying to be super wealthy, but just you get caught up in things that consume too much of your time and your heart and your love. And as a believer, we need to put the Lord first and let him, all these things shall be given to us. I mean, he'll give us everything. He'll give us all that we need. And above and beyond, he gives good gifts, but we need to trust him. But maybe tonight you'd say, Pastor, you know, I just got caught in one. I just have found myself caught up in some things that really don't matter, and I just need to deal with that tonight. I want to be content. I want to be satisfied. I don't want to envy. I don't want to wish I was had something else that I don't have. I need to be happy in the Lord. And God has just, in this short message, touched my heart about that tonight. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up? It's just good to deal with that. Yes, God bless you. Because it's very easy not to be content. Yes, amen. I've allowed myself to be frustrated. Yes, God bless you. Amen. I want to be free of that. I want to have just a heart of peace so I can serve the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, you know, you're talking about this. I realize I'm just restless in my soul. Well, friend, it may be because you have never come into a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ by trusting him alone. Do you know for sure if something were to happen to you that you'd be in heaven? You can know that. You can know that you are a child of God, a child of the King who owns everything. And life can come into perspective. And you'd say, Pastor, tonight, I need to just come to just come to grips with what it means to know God, to have genuine salvation, and I'm burdened about that. Would you pray for me with head still bowed? Would you just slip your hand up here tonight, and we'll pray for you. It would just be a joy. Yes, God bless you. Amen. You may put your hand down. God bless you. All right. Anyone else tonight? God's working in my heart. I need to know that I am a child of God, and I'm burdened about it. Just slip up your hand. I'd be glad to pray for you tonight. Anyone else? All right. Lord, you've seen these hands tonight. We've just simply shared this subject in a simple way, but Lord, would you use it mightily in these hearts in particular, where we can get so bound with temporal thinking and so caught up and lose the perspective of what life is all about. Would you free us from that, Lord? And I pray for these two that ask for prayer about their salvation. Oh, Lord, would you make it clear? Would tonight be the night of salvation for them? I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.